You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's not about welcoming to anything. It's about the awakening. I'm the narrator. This is the essential character.
You have been warned.
And boy, were they.
No, they were warned because this Saturday at Final Battle, it was not a final battle. It was a first strike as Control Your Narrative made its presence felt in the mainstream world. It slid into the bubble of the pro wrestling unity, community, world, what have you, because for so long we existed outside of it. Our niche brand, doing our thing, telling the greatest stories, creating the most compelling characters, reality-based, real stories, real people, real combat. Now we have brought it front center to you, the audience. Now you can't ignore it. You cannot deny it. It is a thing. It is existing, and it will continue to exist. And as we approach the new year, you don't know where else it shall exist. It could be there. It could be here. It could be anywhere. The narrative surrounds us. The narrative is inside all of us. The narrative is to be controlled.
Infiltration, tactic number one, was the awakening. And it was a great opportunity for all of us to come out there and really show the world what we have. Which
it's
is
basically swinging a dick.
Yeah, which, is a dick. Which is a titan.
It's a dick. It's a dick I've been waiting to swing for a very long time. It's something I knew. I manifested this a while ago. I knew this instance, this idea, this concept, this compilation of individuals pursuing their freedom would create exactly what it did. Mm-hmm. Magnanimous buzz, huge eyeballs, drawing interest, numbers, intrigue, leaving more questions than answers. It took me so long that only on the dying days of an old era could have actually been done. Imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if it wasn't. Imagine if people just listened to me earlier, what could have been done, what could have been built. But it doesn't matter now because what has happened, happened, and it happened because it was supposed to happen this way, because this is the way, dare I say. Do I continue to rhyme or do I continue to rant? I'll continue to rant. This is where we step into the unknown.
And that we did. A couple things I want to get into as far as the psychology of the awakening, and something we've discussed in the creation of how we are going to infiltrate the masses and make sure.
Real fast, yeah. If I seem like I slur my words, it's because there was a fucking fork in my mouth at some point in the pay-per-view, and it ripped my tongue open.
Were people saying that on the dirt? Like the
no, just
session?
Right now I noticed like five times I said words that were like a lispy.
I look up and I can barely see where I'm at, where we're hidden, and I look up and I see, and you have a fork in the tongue from Homicide, and then he took your armpit out, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, and also, I don't know if Homicide knows this or doesn't, or if you know this or you don't, but I've ceased wearing deodorant fucking, I don't know, probably around the time I turned insane during the pandemic. But yeah, the aluminum, it poisons you. Deodorant's not bad. And I've noticed I don't stink. I get musky. I have pheromones. I naturally excrete my male essence, but I never like stink. I don't get BO. Only time I might have a hint of BO is when my armpit hair starts coming back in, but then that's when I shave it off. And I fucking wish. Remember that horrible generic Manscaped company that sent me that piece of shit?
Yeah.
Like, what was it called? It was
so bad, yeah.
It was like Balls Out. It wasn't Balls Out. That would actually have been good.
Can you imagine if there was a manscaping company called Balls Out? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
but
we have the nicest razors for your balls.
The product sucked so bad. I was like, oh, I can't wait to trim my fucking pubes. And like, it was just choppy and beat it up. And there was like a plethora of hair left. So I never endorsed the product. So if you're watching,
guys. So you're saying that Homicide took the bad end of that, even though he's the one forking you because you smelled?
No, okay. I just wanted to tell the world I don't wear deodorant. Okay. But Homicide. What a guy.
What a guy.
He's cool as fucking shit. When yes, he's not stabbing you with things, he's cool as hell.
But we've been discussing you know, since we've started the Control Your Narrative movement, and even back when you were wrestling Cardona, the fans on a lot of our, you know, YouTubes and Instagrams are all like, this is a faction. Everybody tries to like psychoanalyze it to what they think it is based off of the world that they already exist in. So like, oh, I know what this is. This is a Fight Club cult leader guy, and he's going to get a faction of guys, and then they're going to, you know, show up like the NWO. And this is something we've been making fun of. As much as things might seem like they're the same, they're completely different, because the NWO, as great as it was when we were teenagers, was still just a bunch of cool dads air guitaring. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was a bunch of dudes that got paid top dollar to just be spoiled brats on the show.
They couldn't give a shit less, and they made millions of dollars doing it.
Yeah.
Dude, Hulk Hogan had JNCOs, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was wearing JNCOs. Yeah. Let's that sink in. But true to your point.
You're my new Korn record, brother.
To that point. Yeah, this is a faction. Oh, this is a faction. This would be a great faction. This is a faction. Listen, I understand now. I, and most people in the narrative, narrator, Patch, Cher, Bill Carr, probably, Fodder to an extent, Weston Blake for sure, operate high brain level when the masses are lower brain level. It's okay. It's not their fault. We have to simplify things and make them easier to understand, easier to digest. A wise man told me what his thoughts of the entire presentation and said, this is very true. He's like, if people don't initially understand what you do, they don't want to put time into figuring it out or thinking about it because they're too dumb. They'll just turn their nose up against it and say, it sucks. So, yes. Okay. So we had to appear in this faction sense. Is the idea of a faction? Yes. But it's not a faction. It's an idea.
And, you know, it's the idea of calling it the Awakening is an action. So, like, the group isn't called the Awakening, because I can see that happening. Or we're saying the Awakening. No, our action is the Awakening. We're there to awaken you from being in the cog of wrestling entertainment being the same thing over and over again.
Well, I mean, I think it's clarified pretty straightforward in our immediate propaganda release after this awakening where we...
Which we will play on this episode.
Yeah, where'd you go? But, you know, it's about exposing the industry for what it is. It's about exposing the gatekeepers. We have enough top-level high names that we can pretty much do what we want and we'll be okay regardless. It doesn't matter. Like, I won't lose finances or work or anything because I'm fucking over. And here's the thing about the people within the narrative, Control Your Narrative. Nobody can kick our ass. Nobody. Name nobody.
Put
your dream team together and say they could fight.
In a real fight. I'm talking about a real fight.
Well, every fight's real and wrestling's real. But yes, who could kick our ass? Who? Go ahead.
Yeah. Who can?
No, he can't. Come on.
Yeah. No.
No. He's 5'7". Yeah. No.
He's 5'7".
Just because his leg goes high and it sounds like he hit somebody doesn't mean he can actually hit somebody. Nope. Next.
That person there too.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I know who you're thinking because he's real tall, but he hits like a fucking bitch. No, he can't do that.
Nope.
So no, nobody can kick our ass.
No, and to really talk about and really drive it in why Weston Blake's fucking elbow, man. God. Yeah. It's a travesty because between Ring of Honor's angles and the angle that I got in the combat, my combat footage of being, you know, I'm in the middle of a war. I witnessed Weston Blake take that first shot. But I think I was so scared or like it was so gruesome that my camera wasn't even there. I was actually like, oh shit. And a lot of the cameras, it was just so chaos. And, you know, producing cast, even on Ring of Honor end, when you have to do that, we have stuff happening in three or four different spots and you can't cut to it. Like it's very, I know, I'm learning a lot in the production sense of how to produce chaos.
I know you're a little bent out of shape. You may have missed the visually stunning and super lethal elbow Weston Blake did, but I assure you this, there will be more.
And we haven't really discussed it with him that much. We've joked about it, but like, that is the good. We've been calling it the Star Killer, and like, you know, he's gonna knock your star off.
He will kill your star.
Yeah, he will kill your star.
Who, what? Quote star end quote can beat him for anything for real. Look, none. Nope, not him. Nope. For sure not him. No.
Just because they're star quality doesn't mean they can beat him. And I'm talking about, you know.
Well, we're harkening back to the days where stars were actually physically threats. And there is no threat that can physically. No. We cannot be physically dominated. We are mentally superior. And we are free in all the ways you wish you were. I mean, it's like, it's going to dominate.
It's going to dominate. Let's go into talking a little bit about the rest of the show, Final Battle, because we were the first strike on Final Battle, but the opening of the show, The Righteous and the Six Man.
We love The Righteous.
Yeah. Man, love the, and again, Shane love Taylor Productions.
Love Shane Taylor Productions.
Love them too.
Q, I love Khan, Shane. I mean, there's some heavy artillery in their mesh. There's some real beef. Khan really piques my interest, especially from Shane Taylor Promotions. Though Q did take me to the gym twice in Baltimore, so he knows the deal. He knows how to get to my heart. But like every person in that match, Bateman, Carr, and Vincent, the leader, like that was a great way to open the show.
And the show opened with Bill.
Well,
Carr,
I mean,
with
Shane Dutch, Taylor wasn't like, in that match.
Shane was in the match later with Kenny King.
Yep.
And Shane didn't even come out. He just let them have their spot for that. Bill, who opens the show, just knowing that, you know, Dutch, as you may know him, we know him as William, he just had that power, that control. And I looked at him that night, at the end of the night, and I was just like, are you hitting new levels of sadness? And he's like, I think about suicide all the time. And you can never tell if he's kidding or not.
Well, that's the self-deprecation we try to get into his head and within the narrative. You don't know if he's serious or not.
Oh, yeah.
You hope he's not, but if he is, having that edge makes him that much more dangerous, and that's intriguing to watch unfold. He's one of my best friends in life. I love him to death. I don't want him to die, but he does have a death wish. He is super self-deprecating, but he's also like so gifted with gab and with physical dominance, with ability, that he just needs the platform to show who he is. Oh, wait, we fucking made it.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Here it is. Us,
yeah. And we're going to stay with him to the bitter end. He'll probably be here after us. But yeah, that match
could be like a cockroach.
Yeah.
You can nuke the planet.
He did a running senton. Is that what you'd call a running flip over the top rope? Is that a running senton or
I don't
just a running flip?
Fucking care about shit over the top rope. But yes.
He did it, which is pretty impressive for a big dude.
Here's the way I look at that, because these fucking suicide dives and topes and sentons and swantons and moonsaults. Here's the fucking fact. In reality, you're using your body as a weapon. So using your body as a weapon in a really cool and visual stimulating way, that's awesome. Do I care what it's called? No. A 300-pound man ran, jumped, flipped over the top rope. Yeah. Onto human beings?
Onto human beings, yeah.
That sounds cool as shit. Yeah. I don't care what it's called.
Solid dude. That was some highlights. And Shane Taylor's ladder match with Kenny King, right? That match was right before you guys. Wow. Awesome. And I was able to, not many people know this out in the wrestling world or the narrative bubble, but Shane Taylor and I were roommates for a while, you know, a good 8-9 months. We lived in a legit Project Mayhem in a repossessed house in Lakewood, Ohio with each other.
Would you pay for rent for that?
I gave Ray Rowe 100 t-shirts for 8 or 9 months, but it's not like we had hot water. And the housing crisis was crazy back in 2008. So like you had these houses everywhere that were just people couldn't live in anymore, but it took the banks so long for them to come and pull everything out of it. So we would, this is stories of being 25 and, you know, trying to run an indie wrestling company.
How often did you wake up and be like, oh, today's the day they're going to come and take everything out of here?
It was twice it happened.
Okay.
Yeah. There was one time we wrestled in Geneva. You were the main event. That's when American Muscle wrestled. And I got back and like half of my stuff was gone and it was a different lock on the door. So I just went through a different window and texted Shane that we should really consider getting out of here. And we made it another month before we both moved out. And then they actually
hold on.
Yeah.
Hard times make strong men.
So you have this story, and now Shane, I actually consider Shane someone who's worked his ass off and is very successful in Ring of Honor. And just seeing, I ran him a couple years ago, back at the end of the Bullet Club era, and then seeing what he has now, we have this heart to heart where it's like, he's a father now, I'm a father now, but we're both actually becoming the men we always talked about being when we were living in a dilapidated house together. And that it was him laughing too and being like, you know, bro, I used to listen to you watch Fight Club over and over again all night long. So it's nice to see that you actually found your firestorm. And it like, you know, just, I call him Gus. Shane's always been Gus to me. And it was just, I don't know. That was the one moment I had a few drinks. So I got emotional. I almost cried. Cause Shane had me in the motion. He worked me up in the, I had to walk away. I was like, dude, that was good. Thanks. Like, but a Shane Taylor Promotions narrative would be a wonderful standalone. Just give them a whole episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a door right there to knock on. So yeah. Shane,
the door's right over here.
We've
is come
talked
knocking.
About it.
Yeah. Just let us know what I said them that. Let us know what you want to do. What else amazing happened? The Briscoes kicked ass against Taven and Bennett.
Oh, and then they had a surprise. Little rendezvous afterwards with the Revival.
Yeah, the other surprises on the show, FTR.
Do you want to go into the details of secret room hidings with the Narrative Boys and FTR? I consider the FTR narrative as fuck.
Their narrative is close to me. And Cash is, he was at the last one hanging out and stuff, but he's a solid dude. Every time he comes in here, he's one of the brothers.
One of the
everybody.
Best.
One of the best. But I like, there was a list of names when I walked into the secret room of like release forms, and I see my name and then I see their names, and it's their gimmick names. It's Cash and Dash or whatever, Dax and Cash. I was like, fuck yeah, we're going to be having, it's going to be a fun hangout today. Just seeing their names, I'm just like, it's going to be, you know, and Weston Blake and Adam, and they were all in the PC together. So just hearing all those NXT stories and stuff, it was, I wouldn't trade in those couple hours for anything.
Before that happened, I was busy running secret ops in the Ring of Honor locker room, making sure I could properly infiltrate the building with my ginormous man pal and my cohorts. So I knew something else was coming. I knew there was another, quote, surprise. I didn't know who, and I didn't want to know. But as I'm running around, I'm getting them situated in a secret room, going back and forth, pretending nothing's going on, because this was top fucking secret.
It was top secret. Other than Jimmy Seafood, everybody kept it quiet.
Yeah, which we didn't go to. Top secret. And then through the door, hood up, mask on, getting the temperature check, I lock eyes with Cash. And I was like, you son of a bitch, it's you. And he nodded. And I knew from his eyes. His eyes. It was cool.
It was really cool. And they just, I hope to whether it's in singles or tag team matches or anything within the narrative or non-wrestling, I just look forward to hanging out and working with both of those guys more.
Yeah, and I'm like, what are you guys even doing here? And they're like, oh, we're going to fuck with the Briscoes. And I'm like, I will pay money to see that match.
Yeah.
And I would. That intrigues me greatly.
And I think that was testing the waters, and I think it's hopefully going to happen now.
Oh, think about, I suck. So Jay Briscoe, my favorite wrestlers of all time, saw me rocking a Meat Castle Thick and Meaty shirt once. It's like, bro, Thick and Meaty, that's fucking cool. I want one. I'm like, I'll get you one. And before I left, and I'm grabbing Control Your Narrative propaganda to make sure we can pass out to those who deserve it, those who need it, I was looking everywhere in our stock for a Thick and Meaty large, and I couldn't find one. And I was so mad. I went up to him, and I was like, dude, I couldn't find a Thick and Meaty large. Give me your address, though, and I'll get one to you. And he said, all right, cool. And then today I walked in. A fucking Thick and Meaty large is sitting right there. Like, I just totally, I suck. So I'm going to send it to him, and he's going to wear it.
That was my first time meeting those guys, and I needed to, I'm rough with names and to faces. So like, it has to be dreads and teeth. And like, I have to think that going up, because I did walk up to teeth and call him Jay. Not really that Jay was the dreads. And it was one of those, they laughed, they had a good, but I was just like, of course I kept my foot in my mouth as soon as, because I'm thinking it as I'm walking up. This one's this guy, this guy's this guy.
God damn it, dude.
Yeah. That's my one chance to impress those guys. And no, we all talked about, they straight up was like, hey, if you guys ever want to do a narrative, the barn's available. Like, they straight up, like, that's, they said that to me.
God damn, I'll throw a fucking chicken at Mark so fast. Jay, the only guy that's pinned me this year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said I had some really kind things to say to him about that match you guys had, and how much I wish. I always say I was wishing in front of people, but like I told him how much on a personal level it meant for me to watch it and to watch you get excited about it too.
Yeah.
What else on that show? Big main event there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal came back.
Yeah.
Gresham was crowned the champion. Well deserved. Well earned. Yeah. He's such a talented in ring competitor. Put people over. No, he's great. He's funny. He wish him the best as the Ring of Honor champion. I know going forward, as they reimagine, him holding that is the safe bet and the right move.
Yes.
But like who would challenge him next? I wonder. I know where I stood on the rankings prior to the company disbanding, and I believe I was third in the world title hunt, but
third.
Yes.
So we're talking like September, October, there's a chance?
There's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
Who knows?
I think you should challenge him for the title in a non-Ring of Honor show.
I would challenge him for the title right here in the fucking shop.
I'd love to see that. You guys are both so physically dominant.
Yes.
Visually.
He's
in the shorter end, but goddamn is he jacked.
Yeah, he's real. He's built like a thumb.
Yeah.
He got with me too about some, you know, advice and diet and nutrition things. I probably shouldn't have given him any of my secrets, but I did. But no, a good man like that, he'll gladly share the wealth of knowledge and then just teach me how to do 8,000 fucking holds in return. Thank you. I don't need him. My moves win.
So a lot of you, everybody watching this, if you're you know, a diehard narrative, you've probably already seen this video, but we have our version of the awakening captured by my footage. So like I've said a few times, this was my first time filming in a live, like in this size of a room and getting in the ring and all the stuff that literally the combat and capturing the combat in a cinematic
getting
way.
Getting in the ring. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, we'll come back. Let's take a look at that video. The Awakening, Chapter 1.
Free Titan!
In a ring of honor. And I have never stood
delivering this scathing diatribe on the industry. I am bringing the noise. I am saying everything I want to say. I don't even know what I'm saying because it's all coming from the heart. It's pouring out of me. It's emotion. It's pure. I say three words. Free the Titan. Out comes my boys. Out comes the Titan. Hell fucking breaks loose. Bodies everywhere. Chaos. People don't know what's going on. I'm soaking it in. I know what's happening behind me because I'm so fucking smart. And I've envisioned this and I've manifested it. And it's playing out in my head just as it's playing out in real life behind me. And as I turn, this fucking guy's just got a camera right in my face. I'm like, oh, you're coming in the ring. Cool. All right. I didn't expect that. Because it was so improvised. It was so off the cuff. It was so shoot.
Yeah. Shoot, it was real.
Shoot. It's real. That there was no planning and there was no walkthrough. And like any great fucking military strike, you have a plan, but your plans never go according to plan. It's the person who planned best for the contingencies that wins. We had every contingency covered. We didn't know how it would go. We just knew it was going to happen. But yeah, fucking narrator right behind me in the thing with my camera in my face. I'm like, holy shit. And why that shocks me so much is like, he assumed get in the ring and capture it as close as possible, where I thought he would be on the outside, away from the danger, away from flying forearms and Dak Draper being dropped and Mecca getting his clock clean and poor Eli Isium getting powerbombed straight to hell. But no, he was in there. He's a brave little soldier. So,
and I, there was no doubt in my mind, this, I'll put this on camera, that I was getting in the ring from day one. And it was just because I'm programmed that we film in the ring. And that was just, that was like, oh my God, how cool. I'm going to have the first ever for an invasion, as the wrestling fan would say, but like this big multi-man chaos combat, as you will. And I'm going to have a camera in the middle of it. So I'm actually giving an intimate lens that no wrestling fan can get. Like when we show up, we awaken, it is literally being inside the combat. And I thought I could do it. So it was one of those things too, is that
you did do it.
I did. And yeah. I did it. And it was like a not, I did not have any negative feedback on anywhere, but you know, definitely if you get opportunities like that, you know, trying to make sure, like I should have, and in reality, I should have been to you and Adam and been like, hey, can we do a walkthrough with the camera, at least in the upstairs room? Like it wasn't even that. It was just, I wanted so much for all you guys to be organic in the moment that I couldn't.
It always has to be. As a producer, so much better.
I was a secondary to it. The cinema is second. Now, when we're inside the narrative, cinema capturing is the most important. That is our art. But in these chaos, these awakenings, there might be different things. Like there's some stuff that like I've already had enough time to think about different parts of the room that I would have loved to rather been in than standing in the ring. You know what I mean? How I can get different shots and how I can set up a different thing that gives still the cinema effect, but it's safer because what we do is dangerous. It is very real. And I put myself in a very dangerous, every time I get in the ring.
Hey, like Rex Brody would say, safety last.
Safety last, yeah. And I'm willing to put myself on the line for that kind of stuff. I mean, I almost got taken out by you and Adam almost took me out. Matt Taven almost took me out. You know, it's just learning, it's a different way of dancing because you're kind of having to work within the violence and the energies and move in and out and just knowing when is your place to be intimate and when it's your safe place to be out of it.
We talking about wrestling still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I see everything as poetry, so sorry.
He's a poet, don't you know it?
Yeah.
Oh, what all else right. do we
so,
about? Let's talk about Fodder.
Yeah, Fodder, looking like a mean looking mug. Like
mean mugging, son of a gun. I can't tell you, I get the most satisfaction I get, not even at this point, like of all time in my career, is someone working their ass off and being rewarded, and hopefully me having a part of that. So he was very, very much on my short list of people I wanted to include on this because this was very close to the vest. This was very much a very inner circle, job to get done. Like, and
I mean, literally, it was everybody you saw as far as the narrative is concerned. That's really who knew about it.
Yeah. And Patch, Glade, and Stooge. But
Patch and Killer Cross, and thank God he didn't steal. Yeah, we'll get to that.
But having him be a part of that was very gratifying for me, because here's this dude. I've talked about him a bunch, but if you're just watching it, who he's made outside of wrestling. He works his ass off. He's got great gigs, work with supplement companies. He's completely self-made. He did it all his own. He came from the wrong side of things and came out the other end. Like I said in the original narrative,
he controlled his narrative.
Yeah. Half, like, the fight between good and evil is on his body, his pain on his body and his tattoos. And he struggled in the past, and now he's clear-headed, clear-minded. And he loved wrestling. He just wanted to get into it, and he tried it. And how I hooked up with him, and he, I didn't even know he was into wrestling when I first started talking to him. Then he's like, hey, man, I didn't want to fucking bug you, but I've started wrestling. Can you look at this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, fucking, wow, I didn't know that. Cool. And then when we initially launched the narrative, I needed somebody that looks tough as shit, that is unknown, that when people watch the, as you would say, art piece in its finality, it just looks like somebody that belongs in a fight and not somebody that belongs in an independent wrestling match with a singlet and like fucking hand-me-down boots and Down Straight as their fucking theme song or whatever. Like, I needed somebody that looked tough as shit and can fuck you up, and that's him. And then he's been with us ever since. But what the work he does on the side for wrestling, he's tearing up North Carolina indie scenes. He's working every weekend. He's putting himself in position to work high-level names from like Morton to Lodi.
He also does his own flyers too.
Yeah, he does his own design. And he's doing so much more work than an entitled indie guy would do, who can do, you know, Quadrabrator Moonsaults or his Flying Sentons or Enziguri's bullshit like that, but get rewarded for it because everyone's in a bubble and think just because they see a move take place, the action of the actual move isn't any good. It's just somebody doing something they saw on TV. Well, what he's doing, he's studying fucking Steve Austin 94 WCW as opposed to what's happening in 2020 GIFs and high spots. So like, he's so wired the right way, or the way I appreciate. But like, I thought he may get lost in the shuffle because he's not a flashy high spot guy. Plus he's an outsider, and the wrestling bubble only now allows people from within it to succeed and come about or get the opportunities. Oftentimes, because they bitch and whine the most while he silently just does his fucking business.
The bitching and whining is 100%. It's like when I look at a crowded room anymore, I can't just sit there and go, man, all these people trying to get over.
Yeah, and all the people in there trying to get over. And like, you look at locker rooms, 80% of the people in that locker room belong in that arena on the other side paying to get in, for the most part. I'm sorry, that's the fucking truth. Yep. But he doesn't. But he would be lost in the indie wrestling shuffle. So to have him, I don't know when, if he'll have an opportunity to be a part of a, like a major pay-per-view or a TV taping or get that whole experience, to have him come along, to have him excel in his role of looking tough as shit and fucking just, he brought an unknown element to it. So I'm very proud, very happy for him. And it also, I mean, shit, it kind of brings me to my rant of the week.
Ooh.
Should I just get right into it?
Get right into it, man.
Well, okay, yeah, because you told me this, and this is what pisses me off, and this is why the gatekeepers need to be exposed. Like, the wrestling media reporting on this awakening, this invasion, this faction, this whatever the fuck we are. You told me you saw one post. I was reading it, and they said, yeah, Weston Blake was with EC3, and then Adam Scherr debuted, and they had some other guy in there.
Yeah.
Some fucking other guy.
Hooded figure is another one. He's a hooded figure.
Hooded figure or some other guy. Like, you're telling me you don't have the fucking decency as a, quote, journalist or a, quote, reporter to spend 37 seconds researching who this guy is, because maybe this guy, this hooded figure, could be the very next thing, but you don't know. And you don't even try to find out. You don't even take the fucking time to try and find out, where did this guy come from? Oh, maybe I'll look at EC3's narrative stuff. Oh, his name's Fodder. Okay. Oh, well, let me find him on Instagram. Oh, he works in North Carolina. He had a match with Ricky Morton last week. Oh, he's fucking trained by Lodi. Oh, nothing about this man who sacrifices his body, his soul, his emotions, his pride, his time, his effort to get into this industry, to put it on the line. Yes, it's for him, but also to entertain you. And you can't give him the fucking decency, the time of day to even try to find out his name. Fuck. Like, you're copy and paste clickbait bullshit. You're not real journalists, and you're barely real people. If you can't take 1 ounce of pride in your job to at least seek answers you don't know the questions to, that's fucking journalism. Finding out things and reporting them, not speculation and opinion as fact, or not somebody's fake information that trickles down to you, where you just read it because you pay for it and regurgitate it in poorly, poorly done, what's the word? Plagiarism style. Get, like, try. I'm just asking you to try. Try. Okay.
Sean Ross Sapp, I watched his review of the show, and what was, you know, we love Fightful and Sean Ross here, but he didn't know about Adam coming out. And when it got to who Fodder was, he apologized, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. He kept going, I really should know who this guy is. I recognize him. I should know his name. And he couldn't put the name to the face. I respect that. Fine. Hey,
that's fine.
You know, that, and like, you know,
and that's a live review. It's not like a written thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the same thing of everybody using this opportunity to say Braun Strowman showed up at Ring of Honor. No, the Titan Adam Shear showed up at Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Sean, you're on Adam's shit list because you said Braun Strowman is here.
Yep.
So, no, my name's Adam.
His name's Adam.
I almost had the interview for you, but
yeah, Sean Ross. We that guy real quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's called him Braun Strowman.
Yep.
Yep. It's not Braun Strowman. It's Adam Shear. They called him a monster of the commentators call him like, they almost said monster of men, but I think they said monster among monsters, and they never used the word monster again. Like, yeah, they said,
well,
it,
they
like,
didn't know either.
They didn't know. Yeah, they didn't know.
I actually kind of vetted them, and I'm Ian and Caprice. Ian, what a play-by-play guy. What a fucking stud. Does his homework. You have notes for him. He goes all out trying to portray your story to the viewing audience. He's amazing. Caprice, hell of a hand, hell of a guy, hell of a body on the kid. He's actually like old too, like, so he's like in super good shape, but like also does the exact same, works hard on both aspects. Love them both. So happy to have worked with him. I kind of vetted him prior, and I go, so you know what's going on with this eight man? He's like, yeah, you know, the eight man's going to happen, and then we're going to the tag match after. I'm like, you know what's going on between it? They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, like the eight man ends, and then we go to the tag match. That's it, right? He's like, yeah, what are you talking about? And I'm like, nothing.
That was amazing, because I was sitting in the production gorilla, and they didn't really know either. They just kept on going, get the mic to EC3. Here we go.
But my one worry is them going, is that Braun? And don't say that. No, but that's how good Ian is too. He didn't even know what was going on, and he called everyone by their names.
It was just smart, yes.
Yeah.
I think he said Wesley Blake, but you know, he's West End now.
Well, I mean, you say tomato, I say.
So we have some unpaid advertisements.
Nobody says tomato.
No.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Who says tomato?
In all my years as a server, no one's like, can I get no tomatoes?
Yeah. Can I have the tomato soup?
Ew.
Are your fried green tomatoes fried? Speaking of food, unpaid advertisement.
Yeah.
First off, question for Patch in the back. I asked, do you want strip steak? Do you want ribeye? Or do you want Wagyu? What'd you say? Well, you're getting all three, kid, because I went out of my way to procure some of Florida's finest meat from Florida Cattle Ranchers. That's right. Florida Cattle Ranchers got a nice ice cold ribeye here. But one day I made the boys some steak. And you want to get a, yeah, there you go. At Florida Cattle Ranchers. Shop small, shop local, support your local small business, support local farmers. Farmers are tough as shit, too, by the way.
Yeah, badass.
Right, you got it. But It's making the boys are working hard here at the print shop. You know, the sweatshop, we like to call it. Project, whatever, mayhem. And I was going to buy steaks, but I didn't want to make a left-hand turn, so I went to Aldi's instead of Publix, which was a big mistake, and all they had were chuck roast, so I, like, cut it up, and I tried to do my famous reverse sear. It was just, it was barely edible meat. So, I've been...
Your house down, too?
Yeah. I do that, even if I do it the right way, though. Cast iron skillet gets smoky, baby. So, like, I felt bad, because I make a really good steak, and Patch was gnawing on some dog food.
He was
so,
like...
But he's a college kid, so he needs it.
But I've been the leftovers too. Yeah. I was like, kid, I'll get you some real good cooked steak.
But I've been meaning to make him a steak. So today, I mean, to celebrate our awakening, I was like, yeah, I'm going to make you a steak. You want one? He said, sure, I won't turn it down. So I made him a steak from Florida Cattle Ranchers. And I'm going to pick up some great tomahawks for Christmas. That's it. Unpaid advertisement. Oh, but I didn't forget about you. Narrator, oh. I made your dog some steak too.
Oh, Bear Bear's gonna love this.
Yeah, a little dog steak.
So I have a little Chihuahua, 14, 15 years old, Bear Bear. I think her full name is Bear Bear McFuckqueen. And she's real in her old legs. She falls asleep with her tongue out all the time, but she loves whenever you're over. She
saddles right up, and we just both fall asleep with a dip in her mouth. It's so cute.
Another thing buzzing on the internet. It's the last thing we're going to talk about today. The main event of the awakening is TikTok, 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 Killer Cross.
Oh, is it?
So there's a
fan art.
Like we didn't make it. You know what I mean? If you do watch the awakening propaganda piece, there is a little bit of a wink in there of what could be the time has come. TikTok, there's some hourglasses over your head. You know, we're not going to, I don't think we can really say anything officially, but we're also not a real wrestling company. You know what I mean?
But we're also like the idea of intrigue and you don't know what's going to happen next. And, you know, people wanting to see something happen and building it up and delivering it properly. But if you're a sentient human fucking being, you would have to know that Killer Cross, the Titan, and EC3's paths will cross, pun intended, soon. I mean, it's just common sense.
Yes.
But that fan art, I spent, you know, I have another podcast with Vince Russo.
Oh, you do? You've been cheating on me with Vince Russo?
I have been. But it's way easier to do because I just put my phone on in my house. It's like, it's so fucking easy. I don't have to hold this microphone.
Narrative, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, he was putting us over so big today, but let's just saying. Well, I'll get to that later. But he's just like, I saw this image, bro. And like, we were talking about it. And like, the uproar it caused, just this fan-made picture. Yeah. Three like-minded individuals.
I had nothing to do with this artwork.
That, and in theory, again, like I said earlier, who could fuck us up? Nobody. Could you imagine that? And I was like, Vince, picture this. It's 2000. Wrestling's actually good again. You got a red hot Stone Cold. You got a red hot Rock. You got an up and coming Chris Jericho on one side of the ring. And you got Titan Cross EC3 on the other. Tell me that's not money. He's like, bro, that's money. That's so money. I'm like, yeah, you're damn right. I wish I had a time machine. But yeah. So what else do you want to talk about Cross for? We're very like-minded. Here's the thing.
We had words. We've talked to him.
We've had words. You know, there was a beautiful...
Say that. Like, you clickbait that. We've talked to him. He sat right here.
There was a beautiful piece of art Aaliyah Alex, I believe, on Instagram created. And, you know, I posted that once and Cross was like, you know, TikTok, whatever cool catchphrase. The thing Vince was impressed about is like, bro... Like, mostly when wrestlers, they want to, like, surround themselves with guys that don't make them better, that they look better than and stuff like that. But you go out of your way to give people opportunities and platforms that, like, you don't have to be the focus. And I'm like, you're damn right. Mm-hmm. And, like, Adam and I will always have different traits and attributes. But Cross and I are very similar. And even in the words we had, when he left the conversation, I go to this guy. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to step my game up if I'm going to fucking... be on the playing field with him. So that's good. I like the challenge. I like to challenge myself with the absolute best in any sort of way, shape, or form. So yeah, we've talked, I guess you can say.
Yeah, so there's your clickbait. We've shared words and they were positive.
They're very,
very positive.
They weren't just positive. They were enlightening. They were eye-opening. They were esoteric.
Yes.
Which I like to say. They were very like-minded, but they made me think of things a lot differently too. And they're very conducive to what we're building.
Absolutely. So to take this home, next week we might come back with a Christmas episode. We're not sure. We'll see where Space Cowboy is. Maybe we can get him to come here as Santa Claus and get us presents. I think that'd be kind of cool. Get presents from Space Cowboy Santa Claus.
It'll probably be the merchandise that we create that we never pitch. So check out our new website, controlyournarrative.co.
Yes.
There's no M.
Nope.
No. I'm sick of M's. There's no M's. Controlyournarrative.co. Grab the brand new hot spanking. This is the brand. This is Austin 316. This is the NWO shirt of the future. Control Your Narrative. Mm-hmm. Black, white font. Easy. Speaks to you in ways that's not just within wrestling.
It's a conversation starter. You were there in public.
I was in the airport. How many comments I get on this shirt? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Enough where people actually have the balls to look me in the eyes and say something. This nice young lady goes, "Wow, I like your shirt." And I'm like, I'm getting in the plane off of our awakening. And I go, "Oh, I wish you saw what I did with it last night. And I wish I had one for you." But I didn't try to sell her one. I'm like,
and if you're someone who likes, you know, and you are an NWO fan and you live in that constant nostalgia, we have the CYN shirt. Because we're not a three-letter brand, but I will definitely put some letters in a shirt for you to be your most NWOist.
We're a three-letter idea.
And, you know, I went through a lot because I'm such a Nine Inch Nails fan. So this was actually more of a Nine Inch Nails throwback than it was NWO. But I couldn't live with myself putting the N backwards like Nine Inch Nails would do, because then we'd have to explain to every wrestling fan. Everybody walk up and be like, you know the N's backwards.
They would. Yeah. It's not worth my artistic direction. No. We overthink. This is fine.
This is fine.
Perfect. You know, we got to dumb it down.
What did our good friend, formerly known as Drake Maverick, James Curtin Spud, say to us about us as filmmakers that was really, really on point? He said we're M. Night Shyamalan when we need to be Spielberg.
Yeah, but gives us that opportunity. Hey, James,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but West Side Story that just came out by Spielberg, tanked, bombed, sucked. No one wants to see it, probably because we're sick of fucking remakes. Yep. We're sick of this. I've seen it. It's good. It was good then. Yeah. I don't like, make me something new. Make Minority Report 2. That would be fucking cool.
Minority Report 2 would be great. There's enough source material from Philip K. Dick that's a possibility.
Totally, man.
Yeah. I'm really into that. All right. Maybe we'll see you next week. If not, we'll see you next year.
Yeah, whatever.